So glad you're here today, and thank you for being a part of our service this morning. And I hope that you were blessed by the worship, and I love that song. I mean, Sunday is coming, and can't wait to see that song as we develop that toward Easter. But we're so glad that you're here to worship with us, and you made it. Some of you lost an hour, I think all of us lost an hour of sleep, but we're here. Some of you say, you know what, I'm just going to go to the second service today. You know, that was your plan. And if that was your plan, kudos to you, right? I mean, you made that work for you. You know, you normally come to the first service, but you're here hanging out with us here in the second crowd, in the second service crowd, and this is a great crowd here. I mean, this is awesome. You're here, you made it, and some of you got your coffee, you're ready to roll. And so thank you for being here as we continue in our series. By the way, if you're a guest with us, thank you for being here as well. I hope that you got a program. Inside the program is a card. It's a connection card. We want to connect with you. Take a minute, fill that out, and then at the end of the service, you can turn that in and let us know about who you are and your visit with us today. You can give it to me. I'll be available after the service in the lobby. And you can give it to me, and I'll give you a free gift, and I thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate you here, that you're here. Thank you for being here. Last Sunday I was gone. My family and I, we were invited to preach. Kind of a last-minute invitation to preach at a church in Holland, Michigan, more specifically Zeeland, which is right next to Holland, and a beautiful area and great church. They were celebrating their 6-year anniversary last Sunday, and he wanted me to come and just kind of speak into the church. And so we drove over there Saturday, came home Sunday, quick trip, and two services. God is doing some incredible stuff at this church called Hope Church, and we've helped them out, support them in different ways over the years. But that church is just doing fantastic, and what an honor to be a part of their service, an honor to be there with them. But I heard Pastor Dave did a great job last Sunday talking about parenthood and relationships, and so Dave, great job. And thank you for doing that last week. And speaking of anniversary services, next Sunday is our anniversary, it's our birthday, 15 years anniversary here at Lake Point. And we're excited about what we're going to see next week. And it's going to be a great, great Sunday. Next service, next week, two service times, 9:15, 11 o'clock. Got some special things going on throughout the day. And it's just to kind of see all, you know, to celebrate, you know, God's faithfulness in the past, and as we look forward to the future, and it could be a Sunday you do not want to miss. And so and then at 1 o'clock, we have a lunch. Just invite everyone to come and be a part of this. And we did a little pivot on the lunch. Originally, with the plan to have box lunches, you know, from Mission Barbecue, we are going to, It's not a box lunch no more. It's a buffet. I mean, now you can go back and get more, right? And so they're giving us more food. It's gonna be not just pulled chicken. We're gonna have pulled pork and plenty of sides. And if you have, you know, so $10 a person. If you have little kids, 3 and 4 and under, they can eat whatever. It's a buffet now. They don't have to eat. Just get a, you know, now it's not a box no more. They can get a little piece of whatever it's on the table. And there's no cost for 3 and 4 and under. About $10, today's the deadline. Got to get your meal ticket today. We got to give them a count. That's why. You know? So we got to say, hey, we got, you know, X amount of people coming. So you got to do that today. And I also want to say this. If you're like, I want to come, but we just can't afford it. You know, I got a big family. We got 10 people in our family. I can't pay for 10. You know, that's a lot of money. Listen, we don't want money to stop you from being a part of this service. So if it's like, hey, you know, we just can't afford it, I want to come, we want you to come. We want you to come. We're family here at Lake Point. And so if you can't make it, let us know. You can put it on the back of the connection card. Hey, I want to come, but we just can't afford it. There's a family of 5. Great. Just let us know, and then we're gonna order that food for you. Just make sure you're here at 1 o'clock, all right, and next Sunday, and be a part of our family, be a part of our fellowship here. And so that's next week. And you can also go to the information table. If you want to pay, it's like, hey, I don't really do good on online. I don't know how that works. You know, you're technically challenged, you know, computer challenged. That's fine. Go see someone at the information table, and you can write a check, you can give them cash or whatever, and we'll count you in. All right, so we want to make this as easy as possible, but today's the deadline. We need to know if you're coming or not. And so I really hope that you will do whatever it takes to be a part of this special day, not just in the morning, but in the afternoon. And it could be a great, great day. And then that week, we'll kick off Love Week. And what we do every year, Love Week, is we bless schools, the teachers in the schools, we in the firehouse, fire station, police stations. And we're just being blessed. We've got like 30 places almost that we're blessing with donuts and with just kind of bless them out. We just want to love on them. And so here's what we need. We need people to sign up for that week and say, hey, I will deliver. You know, and if you're a morning person, you know, this is right up your alley. I mean, if you're like, hey, I can get up early, this is great. If you're not a morning person, hey, you know, we're just asking you to sacrifice one morning where you get up a little earlier than normal and just kind of be a blessing, take food, you know, some donut to a school or to a police station and just to bless them out. And you can sign up on the connection code, or you can see Amber in the what's happening wall by the information table out in the lobby and be a part of what's happening with Love Week. So I hope you can be involved. It's a great way to be a part of our community and blessing others. Well, today we want to wrap up our series on relationships. And so we've talked about relationships the last 4 or 5 weeks. We've talked about marriage. We've talked about singlehood. We've talked about parenting last week. Today we're going to talk about how to deal with toxic relationship. How to manage the toxic relationships in our lives. You know, the people in your life can either be the greatest spiritual asset or they could be your greatest spiritual curse. The people around you, they can be tremendous spiritual asset. They can encourage, they can lift you up, they can pray for you, equip you spiritually. However, the wrong people, they can be distracting and destructive and poisonous in your life. And so this morning, we want to talk about toxic relationship. And the word toxic, it means anything containing poisonous material capable of causing sickness or even death. And if you haven't thought of it this way, people contain, all of us, every person contains something very poisonous. The Bible calls it sin. Sin is capable of causing sickness or even spiritual death. I think this is why the Apostle Paul, he said it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33. He said, do not be misled. Let me stop here for a minute. I think the reason why he said this is so that it's because it is so easy for you, it's so easy for me to be misled. We might think, you know, I hang out with these people, I hang out with this person, and it's not that big of a deal. I know that they're not good people. I know they're toxic. I know that they could lead me to do the wrong thing. But it's okay. I can control myself. And Paul said, hey, do not be misled. And he said this, bad company corrupts good behavior. Bad company corrupts good behavior. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to think, you know, hey, you know, if I'm the good company, then that might help the bad characters in my company be better. That might just make everyone better, you know, because I'm there. You know, I'm the good guy and everyone else will rise to my level. But the Bible says, no, don't be misled. More often than not, the bad company is going to pull you down rather than you pulling people up. It's a bad company. It corrupts. It pollutes. It poisons. Bad company, it destroys. It toxic. I'll show you a verse here that's very extreme. Paul used some very extreme language. And I want you to see just how toxic the wrong relationship can be. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said this in verse 16. avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. So he said, avoid toxic conversations, because if you find yourself sucked in, you become more and more ungodly. But look at verse number 17. He said, their teaching will spread like gangrene. Gangrene. What a picture, right? I did a little research on gangrene. I did a Google image search on what gangrene looks like. I would recommend that you don't do it right now in church. I thought, well, I'll throw some of these pictures up on the screen and let you see it, but then I just wasn't sure if we could stomach it. And then he said, what is gangrene? It starts with a very small infection, a very tiny infection, and then the blood stops flowing to that part of the body, and then that part of that body eventually decays, turns black. Most cases, it turns black, and then it dies. It falls off. You might lose limbs. It's a real nasty thing. And Paul uses this illustration to describe what a toxic relationship can do to you. It spread like gangrene. It is poisonous that can affect not just the person that instigates the conversation or instigates the behavior, but everyone that's around it, everyone that participates with him. There's three different types of toxic people. Real quick, there could be more, but these are probably the most common three. The first one is the negative influencer. The negative influencer. Whenever you're with them, they drag you down. They're always complaining. They're always negative, judgmental, gossiping, complaining. Nothing's ever good enough for them. I think about, you know, the Israelites coming out of Egypt. Moses leading them to the promised land. I mean, they saw God's power, right? They've seen the plagues. They see God one-on-one against Pharaoh, and every time, 10 out of 10, God wins. And then God leads them out. They see the Red Sea depart, right? Part in two. They cross over dry ground. They've seen water come from rock. They see cloud by day, fire by night, like a heavenly GPS, leading them through the desert to the place where God wants to promise them. And then this whole time, these people were constantly complaining. They kept going to Moses, and Moses, you know, when they got to the Red Sea, it was like a dead end. Said, Moses, you got us here, we're in the middle of nowhere, and we'll find a dead end. We were better off in Egypt. They were, for 3 years, they got to the place, you know, to the Jordan River, where God was going to take them over, and they were at that point where, you know, they did not believe that God was going to take care of them. And then God said, enough is enough. I'm tired of all your complaining cow patties. It's done. You will not enter into this land. Your kids will. But you will wander in the wilderness for the next 37, 36 years and wander off until you all die and your kids will claim the promise. The negative influencers. Perhaps you know someone in your life that's a negative person and they're constantly bringing you down. Here's the second type of toxic people. It's the puppet master. The puppet master. They're controllers. They're overbearing. They're demanding. They like to manipulate. They like to manipulate. They could use fear to intimidate you. They might be abusive. Perhaps you always feel guilty around a person. You know, I have to do this so that they don't get mad at me. All right, so this is the puppet master. This is the one that he's the controller. He is conning. He's a snake. He is playing games behind your back. controlling of the situation is a narcissist in a lot of ways. The third type of toxic company will be the moral underminer. The moral underminer. In other words, these are the ones that like to tempt and seduce people. It could be a boyfriend or a girlfriend that's always tempting you sexually, trying to push you to do something that you know that's not right, something you know that you should not do. It could be your friends that want to go out clubbing in the middle of the night and say, hey, let's go to the bar, let's go clubbing till 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's just get hammered. And you know that's not the place for you. You know that's not right for you. And so the moral underminer, these are different types, right? You got the negative influencer, you got the puppet master, the moral underminer. These are toxic people. And they can be destructive. They can take you away from God's best for your life. They pull you away from Him. They draw you into a lifestyle that could actually kill or spiritually hurt you forever. So what I want to do here is two very simple principles of how to effectively and biblically manage the toxic relationships in your life. Two things, if you're taking note. Number one, you have to set healthy boundaries. You have to set some healthy boundaries in your life. You have to know what you believe. And the boundaries are biblical boundaries. And a boundary, by the way, a boundary keeps the bad out and it keeps the good in. So you got to know what you believe. You got to know what the Bible says about things. And you got to stand on it. The Bible becomes the fence for your life. It's the boundary for your soul. And so we've got to keep the bad out, keep the good in, which means that we might have to separate ourselves from certain people in certain situations. For example, we see how this is played out in the life of Christ. He established some healthy boundaries. You know, for example, Jesus loved everyone equally, but He treated everyone differently. You know, he didn't treat everyone equally. He recruited 12 people to be a disciple. He could have recruited 200. There were thousands of people that wanted to be a part of the inner circle. He only chose 12. He chose 12. When he would go into a town to heal people, he would heal a few people out of the crowd, and then he'd leave. And sometimes he wouldn't heal anybody. You know, sometimes he wouldn't heal everybody. He would pick and choose. Pool of Siloam, he goes in. There are a lot of people waiting at the Pool of Siloam waiting for a healing. He heals one man. He heals one person. Think about how He handled the Pharisees. He set some hard boundaries. You know, I mean, Jesus did not hang with the Pharisees. They hated Him, and it didn't want to have, you know, they hated Jesus so much, and Jesus said, hey, these religious hypocrites. He said, hey, I'm going to keep these guys at arm's length. And He kept the Pharisees at arm's length from Him. He even had boundaries with His very closest friends whenever they tried to take him away from doing whatever God has for him. One time Jesus was talking to the disciples. He was telling them, he said, hey, I'm going to have to give my life and die for y'all, and now I'm going to come back. And it's all a good thing. But the disciples, they heard that Jesus was going to die. She said, you know, that's all they heard. I'm going to die. And one of the disciples, Peter, he had good intentions, right? He said, hey, no way. I'm not going to let that happen to you. You know, they're going to have to cross, they're going to have to come through me before they get to you, Jesus. You know, I'm not going to let anything happen to you. Now look how Jesus responded. He set a boundary. Look how He responded here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Wow. He said, you're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. In other words, Jesus said, Peter, what you're saying to me, what you're telling me is gangrene to me. Toxic. You're pulling me away from what God wants me to do. You're pulling me away, even though you don't mean it. You know, the spiritual enemy is working through you. So get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. I'm not going to let you trip me up. Now, can I make a recommendation? Don't go to your mother-in-law and say, hey, you're gangrene to me. Get behind me, Satan. No. You may want to say that, but you should not say that. Bad idea. But it's important, though, to set up some healthy boundaries at appropriate times. Here's a couple things here, some practical thoughts here. There may be times when someone is demanding, talking about the wrong thing, they're tempting you. And what you're going to say in that moment, you're going to say, I won't let you talk or treat me like that. I won't let you talk or treat me in that way. Are you going to say it? You know, not going to be a jerk when you say it. You're not going to come out swinging. Just say it very calmly, but you're putting up a healthy boundary and say, hey, I'm not going to let you talk to me like that. I'm not going to let you treat me like that. For example, if you got a friend who's always gossiping, you find yourself getting sucked into it, and it's very toxic. And so establish healthy boundaries in that moment and say, hey, if you're going to continue to gossip, I'm not going to be a part of it. And if we continue to do it, then I'm going to walk away and I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go read a book. I'm going to leave. You're not a jerk. You know, you're not mean. You're just saying, hey, I'm not going to talk about that with you. I'm not going to talk about it. Ladies, you may be married. You've got some lady friends all hanging around. And they get together, and somewhere in that conversation, the conversation turns where they start to trash talk to their husbands, and it goes on and on and on, and it kind of gets inside you a little bit, kind of gets into your soul, and then you start to have some negative thoughts as well. You need to establish some healthy boundaries in that moment. And you say, hey, you know, I'm going to honor my husband. He's God's man for me. And ladies, I just can't continue. I can't keep talking. We can't go here. And so I'm going to step away. I got to leave. You're setting some boundaries. Boundaries. It's very simple. The very practical boundary. You state it. You just make that statement. And you don't just hope that they're going to understand it. They may not. You might get ridiculed. You know, but you just draw the line in the sand and say, here's my boundary. We're not going to do that. I'm not going to let you treat me that way. I'm not going to let you talk about that with me. You're going to set up some hard boundaries. You also might say, if you're taking notes, you also might say this, I'm not going there with you. I'm not going there with you. Now, what is there? It could be wherever, it could be whatever. But whatever that is that you're doing, it's not helpful to me, so I'm just not going to go. I'm not going to participate. Perhaps you had a problem with alcohol, right? And you know that it's not good. You know that you become an abusive alcoholic, and you're not pleasant to be around when you're in that state of mind. And so you've been clean. You've been getting sober. And if someone, if you got some friends, they're like, hey, we're going to the bar. You want to come with us? Go to a keg party, right? You're going to do that. And you might respond and say, listen, I really care for you. You're my friend. But I got to say no to that. It's not good for me. I can't go there. It's not good for me spiritually. You just draw the line. Just say it. Ladies, you could be married. Men, you know, you could be married, right? And an old boyfriend or old girlfriend comes in contact with you on Facebook. They send an instant message. And they say, hey, I just saw your Facebook profile. It's been a long time. Look like things are going well. You know, look like you're doing great. Hey, maybe we should catch up. Maybe we can grab lunch together. And you're very polite. You respond with boundaries. And you say, listen, I'm not going there with you. You know, I'm married. I'm happy with my marriage. I'm glad to hear from you. I'm glad things are going well. But it just wouldn't be right for me to have lunch or whatever with you. You're dating someone. They're putting the moves on you. And you're a Christian. You know, hey, I've got boundaries. And you're crossing the line. And they keep pushing. And you got to say, whoa, 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 baby. Back it up. I'm setting a line here. Now, I'm not going to cross that line. I'm not going there with you. It may be your thing, but it's not my thing. If you want to make a thing, like you put a ring on it, right? I mean, is that what you say? I mean, it's kind of weird. Anyway, if we want to go there, let's get married. But until then, off limits. It's a boundary. And so you're setting healthy boundaries. You draw the line. Why? Because you want to please God with your life, and you don't want toxic relationship to pull you away, to separate you from God. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Good. All right. So at first, listen, it may be awkward when you set some boundaries. It may be awkward. It might be difficult in the moment, but I promise you, in the long run, God will always honor the boundaries that you set.
Yes.
You may not see it in the moment, but he will honor it in the long run. Now, all of that being said, there will be times when you do all these things. You set the healthy boundaries. You make a statement. Sometimes people honor it. They honor your boundaries. Hey, I respect you. Good. Good. All right? And in fact, what that does is that shows who you are in Christ. You start to have a testimony into the life because they're looking into you and how you are relating Christ to them in that moment. Such a powerful, powerful thing. However, there are going to be times. There are going to be people that are going to push back. You ever get the push back? Oh, yeah, you get the push back. You set the boundaries, and they don't respect your boundaries. You say, hey, you know, you draw it again. You draw the sign and say, hey, this is my boundary. And they don't care. They want to keep pushing you. They want to keep pushing you. They want to be toxic. They want you to become gangrene. They want you to separate from God. You know, that might not be their overt intentions, but that's how the devil is using that situation. And so you're going to, with all that being said, there's going to become a point where the second point here is very dramatic. Some people may not agree with me on this, but I stand by this 100%. And the second thing you have to do, if they continue to pollute, the second thing you have to do, you have to step away when necessary. You have to step away when necessary. In other words, you have to cut it off. You may just have to. Now, I want to be very, very, very clear. I want everyone to listen very carefully. It's so important. In this point right here, I am not talking about marriage. Okay? This is not a marriage issue. I'm not telling you to go home. You go to your husband, you go to your wife and say, hey, you're toxic. You'd be in a doghouse for a while if you do that. Can I just say that marriage can become toxic? Why? Because of, but we talked about this already, because of sin. Whether it's sin on both ends or just one person, but sin can pollute the marriage. And you have to treat it. And so this is a whole nother message. We're not going to spend a lot of time, we're not going to talk about it today, but can I just say this? If there's if your marriage is toxic, then just like if you have a poisonous situation, you know, someone ate poison or you have a virus, what do? You go see a doctor, you get medical help. If your marriage is toxic, poisonous, it got sin, it's separating you and it's pulling you away from your relationship with God, then you need to seek spiritual help. Get some spiritual counseling. Got some pastors here that can help you with that. We can recommend biblical counselors in our area. But don't delay it. Don't ignore it. Man, don't ignore it. We like to ignore our own physical problems. I'll just kick the can down the road. I'll deal with it later. You deal with it. Because later it might be too late. So deal with it before it becomes too gangrene, right? Too toxic that it's beyond help. And so you've got to deal with it. I'm also not talking about divorcing your family, where a parent might write off his children or vice versa. You work through the pain. You get help, right? The same counsel. You go get some counseling. Understand your spouse, family members, they require some extra handling, some extra care. And so the last extreme options will be to cut off the toxic situation. And there are times, biblically speaking, where that may be the case. But that is not a first option, that is the last option. You have biblical ground for that. All right, so today, on this point, I'd like to focus on a broader set of relationship. And I want to give you some biblical examples here where I want to kind of navigate. Paul and Barnabas is one. Paul and Barnabas are friends. But they had a thing that was kind of affecting the relationship. And that person's name was John Mark. John Mark was a... He was on their team. I don't know if he was an intern. We don't know what role he played in, but he was being mentored by Paul and Barnabas. There were some things that John Mark just kind of annoyed Paul. We don't know what. You know, I get the sense that John Mark might have been immature. You know, there was some growing up that he needed to do. And Barnabas, in his nature, his personality, was like, hey, you know what, Paul, I had to deal with you. I can deal with John Mark. I mean, I can deal with anybody. And Paul's like, no, I don't need John Mark on the team. And Barnabas said, well, I don't want to get rid of him. And they could not agree. There was a disagreement. And they came to the table. They had a Jesus meeting. They got together, and Paul and Barnabas said, listen, this thing, when it's not agreeing, and it's causing some friction, it's causing some tension, and Paul and Barnabas said, hey, we love each other too much to allow this thing to separate us, you know, to ruin our relationship. And so it might be best to go our separate ways so that we both can be effective in ministry. And so that's what they did. They left on good terms. I believe that they put the fast forward button and said, hey, if we stay in this relationship together, you know, on this mission, then this could go really bad and become that toxic situation where we get pulled away from the mission of God. And so Paul and Barnabas is one example. I think about another example in the Old Testament. You have Joseph. He's a slave, right? He's a slave in Egypt. His master was the captain of the Pharaoh's army. His name was Potiphar. And so Joseph, he's taking care of the family. And he's one of their best workers. And I'm assuming Potiphar, he's out and about, you know, on his day job, working, taking care of the army. So Joseph is home alone with Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife asked Joseph to do something inappropriate. She made a move on him. And notice what Joseph does in Genesis chapter 39. She caught him, Potiphar's wife, caught him by his cloak. She said, hey, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Joseph is busting out of the house. He's running for the hills. He's getting out of this situation as quickly as he can. He got his cloak in his hands. I'm not sure what that means. Was Joseph in his underpants? I don't know. But he's like, I'm out of here. I'm not sticking around. What he didn't do, notice he didn't say, hey, Potiphar's wife, it looks like you got some spiritual challenge here in this moment. Let's sit down. Let's pray about this. Let's ask God to help you with your lust issues. He didn't do that. He's gone. He's out of there. He realized that this situation is potentially, this was a potential gangrene. This could be very dangerous. This would pull my relationship away from God. And so Joseph had to do the hard cut. And it cost him. It cost him. He had to go to prison even more for this. And so what does this look like for you? What does this look like for me? All kinds of examples. You're a teenager in the room. And you received an inappropriate text message. Sexual in nature. And it's a friend from school, maybe from your basketball team, maybe from, you know, from your drama team. And you just respond to, hey, this was inappropriate. You talk to that person and say, that was inappropriate. Please don't send me that again. But they don't respect the boundaries. They keep sending it. You go back maybe again and say, hey, listen, I do not want to engage in these conversations with you via text message. But they don't listen. They don't respect. And so at some point, you have to cut them off. You have to block the number. You might have to, you know, unfriend them on your social media. You have to separate. Perhaps you've got a business partner, and you're involved in your company, and you have a partner, and your partner, your business partner, wants to do something very unethical. And you say to him, no, I don't want to be involved with this. We're not doing this. But your partner keeps insisting, say, listen, it's going to be okay. The end will justify the means. You know, it's going to be great. We're going to quit the books. You know, but we'll never get caught. We'll be fine. I know it's a little illegal, but, you know, we'll be okay. We'll be all right. And you have a choice. They won't listen to you. He wants to engage. He wants to push forward. He said, listen, he said, if we do this, we're going to get super rich. I got it all figured out, but we got to cut the corners. And you say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And they don't listen. And so at some point, if they don't respect the boundaries, they don't respect you, then you have to cut them off. You say, listen, I don't want to be a part of this. I either buy me out or I buy you out. And listen, I've seen it played out. I had a friend who's a business partner who was sharing me a story. He says, Scott, I used to be with this person. I didn't know this person. But he said, I used to have a partner, and he wanted to do all the that scenario that I just played out for you. And he said, Scott, I pulled out, and it cost me a lot. I lost money on the deal. But today, that former co-partner, that former business partner is now in prison. It caught up with him. And by the grace of God, I'm doing okay today. I'm not in prison. You know, and God is good. Hey, God will honor your boundaries. He will honor in the long run. It may cost you something in the moment. It may be awkward. It may not be easy. You might lose some friends because they're going down a path that violates your biblical conscience, your biblical principles. It's never easy, but it's always the right thing to do. So, cutting off a relationship. Can I just say that that should be a rare thing? And the more you're in Christ, and the older you get, you know, in Christ, the less you're going to cut people in your life. I can think about the last 20 years, you know, 15, 20 years, and I can count on one hand how many times I've had to cut a relationship. They're few and far between. If you're a young person, teenager, young adult, or if you're a new believer who adopted new biblical principles into your life, that's where you might have to navigate some pruning of relationships in your life. But I am not saying that this afternoon you're going to go out and say, hey, I just 30 people. You know, you're out, you're all out, you know. I'm not saying you do that today. You prayerfully and gracefully seek every situation. In every situation, you're setting no boundaries. I'm not saying you cut the relationship off when you set those boundaries. It's when they keep pushing you and pushing you and pushing you across over those boundaries to get you outside of the will of God. That's where you may just have to do the difficult thing to do. And you might say, hey, listen, I love you. I'm going to pray for you, but we can't have a relationship anymore. And you do that, and you walk away. And it's never easy. It's never easy. But I promise you, God will honor it. I want to close out this message series. I want to circle back to our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Now think about our toxic lives and our toxic relationship, but then, you know, Jesus, who doesn't have a toxic bone in his body, who could have cut us off from the beginning, loved you and loved me so much that he came and was born in our mess. He came to our toxic world, died on the cross, for our toxic sins. He was buried and rose again so that he can give you new life in you, where you can eliminate that old man of sin and eventually become new in him. And that can happen today. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says he's the friend that took it closer than a brother. He's the most powerful relationship you can have. He's a relationship that will change you from the inside out. And he will guide your path. He will direct your step. I don't have the verses on your handout notes, or maybe I do, but it's Psalm 1. We have Psalm 1 on the screen. The blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Blessed is that guy. Blessed is that person who's not living in that world. But his delight, verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. A new relationship with Christ finds us wanting to draw closer to him and finding ourselves in him and for him. And we become so full of God that we become a testimony of God's saving grace in a lost, dying, toxic world. And if you're here today, you don't know Jesus, I invite you today. In a minute, we're going to have some announcements, and then at the end of our announcement time, the service will be done. We'll have some people up here in the prayer team. And they'll come up here. People will be walking out. They're leaving. But this is your opportunity for you to come forward, talk to any of our prayer team. You can talk to them about anything. Maybe there's something to pray for, but if you're here today, you don't know Jesus, you can say, hey, I don't know Jesus, and I'd like to have a relationship with him. And any one of our prayer team members can talk to you today about what it means to have new life that can only be found in Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this message. God, I know that all of us have people in our lives that we're working through. Perhaps it's boundaries that we need to set. Maybe worst case scenario, we have to step away if it's necessary. But God, whatever it is, God, I ask you, help us. Help us not to be toxic, be the toxic person in the relationship, but be the person that wants to be a testimony of your saving grace. Perhaps, God, there's someone here today that's not a believer. And today is a day where they can ask Jesus to come into their heart and change their life. God, I pray that they will not put it off. I pray that they will not kick the can down the road, but that they do something about the eternal state of their life. And God, we know that you can take your toxic life, a sinful life, and turn it around, and we can become righteous in the sight of God. So God, I pray for all these things. I pray that we make decisions today, whatever that looks like. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.